thank you. So, fall back, spring ahead. That was the name of the, you know, the heading of our teleseminar today. And, you know, many times school owners, they think in cycles. You know, what do we do for the fall? What do we do for the holidays? This philosophy is good, except it leaves many holes in the bucket. And this is what I want to talk to you about now. I want to set you up with the kind of mentality of, you know, yearly marketing campaign. So I'm going to start the teleseminar technically right now, and welcome, of course, to our teleseminar. You know, you should know me by now. Some of you have my voice etched in your brain. I don't know if that's a good thing, but this is Ali Alberigo. I'm from Taking It to the Next Level. I'm one of the senior consultants for Member Solutions. And as you know, in my teleseminars, I like to give you enough information so that you can take the knowledge that you've just acquired and immediately go out and make some money and improve your school. I've been recently listening to many teleseminars lately from other consultants, and I'm a bit disappointed in what I've been hearing. Not to say that they're not consultants with Member Solutions, of course, but just in the general marketplace that's out there. It seems to be nothing more than someone just taking the content from the last 10 years, putting it in a bag, shaking it up like if you were at a raffle, and just re-releasing it in different form. Now, don't get me wrong. Business is business, and honestly, it's only a matter of taking things that you have heard or read or studied and learned and put them into action. In fact, on my program, the Taking It to the Next Level program, people constantly ask me for more information. What I mean by that is, my program is a step-by-step, month-by-month, systemized approach to running your business. Now, I'm not plugging the business at all. What I'm trying to say is that the way I teach is that I want people to actually, like we do martial arts, we teach our students from beginner level to black belt. Of course, if a student, a white belt, came to us and said, I'd like to be a black belt and learn black belt techniques, we'd say, okay, first start at the beginning and work your way up, and eventually you'll be able to do those moves. We ask them, and we require them, to build a strong foundation. Yet, when we as business people start running our businesses, or as we're used to, you know, we get information. Normally, my clients will ask me, you know, they want more information. They normally respond when I say to them why. They respond by saying that's what they're used to. This is what the industry is giving to them, and that's what they want. More, 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 more. So go figure, and I'm being sarcastic, of course. I want to point this out, that a martial artist is of the mentality that they want what they want when they want it, and that's it. That's shocking, right? But that's how we are. As business owners or school owners or martial artists, we're kind of control freaks. And when I say we're, I am as well. You know, I like a 2-minute snapshot. I want it over and done with. I don't want to waste time on stuff that's not important to me. I want to make sure I get to the point and get it done. And yesterday is too long. My staff knows that. They continuously frustrate me by not doing what I ask for them. I'm an idea man. I'm throwing stuff at them at light speed. I do feel bad for them, you know, to some extent, because I'm always giving them new things, piles. Their piles just keep on growing. They never go down. But anyway, martial artists by nature want what they want when they want it. And I know that we're all creatures of our upbringing. Factually, that's only this way because we know that that's the way to be. In other words, that's the only thing that we've learned. We've never experienced it any other way. The industry has done a great job at changing people's mindsets from what they used to call, back in the day, the dungeon dojos. I'm holding up my quote finger.
You get an email from me, you know. Don't even look at that one, you know. So anyway, obviously if you get one that says, hey, the house is on fire, you know, pay attention to that one. But other than that, focus on what we're doing here. So anyway, we handed out a cheat sheet, a PDF, which I hope everybody did get, which included kind of the notes for this call, fill in the blank. And I'll tell you, if this thing was a quiz, it would be really challenging because as I was getting ready for the call and I was creating these fill in the blanks as what I was going to teach, I didn't actually answer the questions. I just left them blank because I just created the one thing for you guys. And as I was getting ready and reviewing what I had to do, there was one question that actually stumped me, and I had to really think about it. What did I mean by that? So these are some tough questions, but luckily there's not going to be a quiz or anything at the end, and we're just going to go through and fill it out. And this will help you file this information not only into your drawer, but also into your subconscious mind where it'll stay forever as you write it out or type it out. It'll get planted into your mind forever. So anyway, with that said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of go through, try to make it as fun as possible. I'm going to just go through these lists. Go through the list of what we have in these notes. So everybody should definitely have that note or have printed it out, and we'll kind of go through this. But before I do that, you know, one thing about email is it's real powerful, and we said it's the push button way to get more students, and it actually is true, because when you build up a list of people that have subscribed to your email database and have opted into your website or have given you their information via a special event, given you permission to email them, you know, you can stay in touch with them. So it's basically free. I mean, whatever you pay for the subscription to whatever service you're using, whether it be, you know, AWeber or Infusion or Constant Contact or whatever you're using to stay in contact with your students, I mean, you're paying that one subscription, and many times those services that let you do email marketing, I mean, they have these crazy limits on how many you can have, which is astronomical, especially for a martial arts school. I mean, yeah, you can send 500,000 emails a month with this service, and you're thinking, well, geez, I'm not going to send that many, but great, it's good that I have all that. So the point is, you have so much flexibility, and even though you're not going to send 500,000 emails a month, this is just one of the cheapest ways to stay in touch, because here's the thing. Once you cultivate a relationship with people via email, and you get permission to, you know, say things to them, stay in touch with them, keep them informed, and ever so gently make soft sell. That's what it is. We're going to talk about soft sell for your school in those emails. You know, one message is going to resonate with them, and they're either going to click on your link, they're either going to, register for your event, or go to your store. Whatever you're trying to get them to do, as you cultivate that relationship, eventually one message will resonate with them. But the key is obviously keeping them on your email list and keeping them reading your email. So that's what we're going to talk about. And it's a challenge. It really is. I mean, one thing you can't expect when you send an email out is that everybody's going to open it because you will just set yourself up for a lot of disappointment because, unfortunately, a lot of emails don't get read. And obviously that comes – there's a lot of things that go into that. There's the clutter. A lot of people get a lot of emails into their inbox every day. So that gives you the more reason that you have to stand out from the crowd. So as we go through this, we'll talk about how that relates. And if you think of questions, by all means, you can ask them because we'll keep it an open democracy, not a dictatorship. But anyway, so here we go. Let's just go through the notes here. First of all, the do's. Do use email to communicate with your students. They appreciate its what? They appreciate its efficiency. You know, for your current students, they totally appreciate the fact that you can send them, you know, PDF links or something like that, or PDF attachments for their class handouts. You can email them schedules. You know, you can email them, hey, we're open today, or hey, we're closed today, or because of the snow or whatever, or because of the crazy weather, or remember, we're closed for the holiday weekend. You know, they appreciate its efficiency. So that's why it's important that you embrace this with your students. Now, here's what I'm going to tell everybody right away. Every once in a while, I get emails from people that add me to their lists. I don't know why they do this, but they do. You know, they get an email from me, so they grab my email, and they put it into their list. Now, one of the things that you never want to do, especially when you're emailing your students, is put them into your normal, I don't know, Yahoo, Gmail, AOL. I don't even know, you know, how they work, but one of the worst things you can do for email marketing etiquette is to reveal everyone's email addresses. I don't know if you guys follow me what I'm saying. A lot of times you see those chain emails, those political emails or whatever. I happen to get a lot of those from my mother. I don't read them all. But they say and every single person's email address is copied inside that. You can just see everyone's email. And that's one of the worst things you can do to people. So just keep in mind as you're emailing your students, you know, invest in some sort of service. Do it the right way. Don't send this bulk email out, you know, that has all their addresses pasted in there. That's a really bad thing to do. So if you're doing that on the call, stop doing that. You know, if you have five people in a group or something like that that you've been talking to, or 10 people in this thing, and they're used to being, like, I have a few email mastermind groups that I'm with. So, of course, everybody gets copied and we can reply all. But never, ever, you know, just put all your students' email. I figured I'd say that because I get emails from people all the time for whatever, and they put me into their list. I don't know, maybe they want me to critique their emails or something. I don't really know why. And I see my email lumped in there with all their parents, and yeah, I can easily rip off their parents' addresses and start mailing them. Of course, I would not, but that's just an example of anybody can get a hold of those addresses. Anyway, so your students appreciate its efficiency, but don't violate their trust by doing stupid things like that, you know, and that's stupid spelled S-T-O-O. No, just kidding. All right, so anyway, do make every email to your current students blank. All right, do make every email to your current students count. That's basically very simple fill in the blank there. And here's what I mean by make it count. You know, make sure that whatever you're going to tell them in that email is relevant. Never just kind of have a brain fart and email it out to your students. I mean, I'll give you a great example. I mean, it's for our, especially right now in our MA Biz Secret Society, our members get an email Monday through Thursday from us that is totally, totally content-driven. And it's totally content-driven to the point where, okay, here's the content, and here's the resource, you know, copy and paste or watch the video or whatever, you know, whatever we're doing. It's totally complete is what I'm saying. It's not, you know, kind of vague and fuzzy, which you're allowed to do with your marketing emails sometimes as long as you deliver a little bit. But anyway, so make every email to your current students count. So I'll give you an example. When I do that email 4 days a week for my MA Biz Secret Society clients, a lot of thought goes into each email. A lot of thought goes into each subject line. A lot of thought goes into picturing myself as them and saying, why would they spend their time reading this? Why? What can I say here that is going to be as best as possible that I can honestly look myself in the mirror and say, I really gave this thought and I really empathized with my person reading this. I respected their time. And I want to make them glad they read this because they're going to get a resource, they're going to get an idea. Like the other day, I found an awesome story in the AP, the Associated Press, about bullying, about basically what the story was saying. Bottom line was that, you know, schools can't do anything about bullying. It's up to the parents. It starts with the parents and it starts with the kids or whatever. And obviously, as martial artists, we know that if we can arm kids with the tools to resist bullying. Well, guess what? Well, now that school now has a solution to their problem. So when I came across that article that was out that day, the next day my clients had an email that said, man, I just found this article and we already have a press release about bullying. Here's what you say to a producer. Call, you know, just get moving on this. You can tie into a major story. So anyway, that's just an example of thinking, what can I say to my students? What can I say to my students right now? So maybe you came across that article and you said, you know, I just wanted to share this with you guys or something like that. That's an example of anything is game for email because it's a very informal communication. You know, you can say, hey, how's it going and what's up, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's a very informal communication. So you want to talk to people in the way they want to be spoken to. But as an example, you think about what can I tell them that counts? You know, one time, I sent an email out about, you know, when I came across something that said, you can subscribe to text messages for Amber Alerts, right? That's a good thing. You know, if you come across information like that, send that out to your students. Say, hey, by the way, mom and dad, or, you know, of course, you can put their name in it. You know, by the way, Sally, I just came across something. I actually just heard this on the radio that we can all subscribe to this website. I forget what it was. I think it was wirelessamberalerts.com. You know, something like that, and we can get Amber Alerts on our cell phones, and you know that's a great service because all parents are very, you know, nervous about this stuff. So I know I went in right away and I subscribed myself. So you want to think about when you're emailing your current students, make it count. Give them something that's going to be of value. I mean, do you think that, you know, obviously that AP, Associated Press article about bullying is valuable to my clients? Absolutely. Do you think that telling your parents about how they can get wireless, I'm going back a few months, how to get wireless text messages about Amber Alerts is valuable? Absolutely, because all parents are concerned. So think, put yourself in their frame of mind and say, what can I say of value? You know, and that goes, you know, for things like Facebook, too. Picture Facebook as a medium of, you know, similar. Of course, you're not going to email people through Facebook, but, you know, you do your little Facebook posts or whatever. Make them count, too. And listen, no knock on anybody who does quotes, but that's just one of the things that just irks me, you know. If you don't have anything to say, don't say something that somebody else said. You know, say, you know, make up your own quote. You know, here's a good one. You know, I don't like quotes and author unknown, whatever. But, you know, as an example, same thing goes with, like, Facebook. I mean, say, make it count. I mean, I only get on Facebook a couple times a week, and if I just, you know, got an article done or if I had an article written about me or something like that, I'm just going to put that up. And other than that, I stay off of it a little bit, you know. I know when Kathy gets on, she's letting people know, hey, we got this teleseminar coming up. And so she's making it count. You know, she's giving some good information. So just keep that in mind when you're doing emails and Facebook. Make it count, you know. Just keep that in mind. So anyway, it's okay. Next one. It's okay to email your students anywhere from blank to blank times a week. I wonder if we were in a live audience, I'd ask if anybody wants to take a crack at that, take a guess at what they think would be okay to email their students. And the fact of the matter is, you know, it really wouldn't be out of line if you emailed your students anywhere from 4 to 5 times a week. You know, now, of course, if your emails are annoying and you just, you know, they're no value and they're just, you know, take up people's time and they're just, you know, pitching a product every single time. Hey, we have nunchucks on sale this week and next day, you know. Hey, we also have uniforms on sale, that, you know, today. And hey, no, you know, that's the worst way. You wouldn't want to do that 4 or 5 times a week because you just annoy the crap out of people. But, you know, you can email your current students anywhere from, like I said, anywhere from 4 to 5 times a week. You want to start off slow, just say 3, all right, say 3 to 5 times a week. And as long as you have something good to say, that is not out of line communications with your current students, people that are currently enrolled in your school, that are used to taking advice from you, that are coming to your classes a couple times a week and say, geez, well, they see me 2 days a week, you know, what the heck? No, they still get those emails 3 to 5 times a week. They still get those checkup phone calls, you know, every, 4 to 6 weeks or so. They still get those good job notes, and they get those emails. And now, you know, they get it from all different angles, which is the best way to communicate. So that's just something to keep in mind, 3 to 5 times a week, and I'd say even 4 to 5 times a week is safe. But if you want to start off slow, 3 should be the minimum that you should email your students. You say, oh, well, geez, you know, I don't know what to say 3 times a week. Come on, you know, you're a martial artist. You have knowledge in your mind. You have things you want to share. I mean, why did you open your darn school? You have something you want to share. So don't you come across great things that you can share with your students? I mean, I know I do. I mean, I know I'm constantly learning. So I'm always looking to share what I'm learning. I'm constantly doing and experiencing things. So I'm constantly looking to, you know, share my experience, you know. And so that's just something, you know, there's really no excuses. You're a martial artist. You're a teacher by nature. You're an educator by nature. You're in the information business by nature. So don't be shy to share what you have and make it count. 3 to 5 times a week with your current students is totally, totally cool as long as you, again, you know, we have, you know, nunchucks, glow in the dark, come get them. No, no, say, don't do that. You know, put that, like, in the third email or something like that and make it also count with something else, like an oh, by the way. That's the best way to, you know, to pitch your things in email is to give them, you know, give them their thing that they're used to and say, oh, by the way, this week we do have nunchuck, glow-in-the-dark nunchucks on sale. Oh, by the way, this week we do have our, you know, our back-to-school bash, you know, our back-to-school fall bash that's coming up. Make sure if you have an RSVP that you RSVP, then be sure you bring a friend. You know, so you're putting that, you know, as a secondary, oh, by the way, all right? So when you can keep your students, your current students informed on special events, on this is the next one, by the way. You can keep your current students informed on special events, on, you know, closing, and sales and things like that, and just anything you can really think of, and then just knowledge that you want to pass on, all right? That's the and more. Just things that you want to pass on to your students that you know are going to be of value to them, all right? So here we go. Next one, all right, and I'm trying to go pretty quickly so we can have time and we can stay in the time frame that Member Solution has allotted, and we can also maybe take some questions. Okay, but do email your prospects and accumulated leads and contacts. So that's a do, okay? We said we were going to cover do's and don'ts, right? So that's a do. Do email your prospects and accumulated leads and contacts. So here's what I mean by that, accumulated leads and contacts. Okay, prospects, maybe they came to your website, we're going to get to that. Maybe they came to a special event, so you got their email address. And it's okay for you to email them. Now, if they gave you their email address kind of like offline, meaning on like a permission slip or something, what you can have is a little disclaimer or something at the bottom that says, by entering your contact information, no, I'm not a lawyer, so, you know, and I'm not sure if you want to contact Mr. Kasman on this either, because I know he's really busy, but contact your own lawyer. But the truth is, you know, this may not hold up in court, so that's my disclaimer, and I'm not a lawyer, never played one on TV or radio. So anyway, so you may say, you know, by giving us this contact information, you know, you grant us permission to contact you via these methods. I mean, again, you know, check with your attorney on that one, but it always worked for me. I never got sued or anything like that, you know. And if someone said, hey, don't email me, I say, sure, just go to the bottom of the page and just click on the link and you're out of here. Just opt out. You will never get another email from us again. And it's very simple, all right? But anyway, so do email your prospects and community leads and contacts, but don't ever spam anyone. And here's what spam is. You know, it's funny because everyone has a short memory. And every now and then I'll kind of do what I call warm calls for my MA Biz program, because I'm a kind of nuts and bolts kind of guy. I like to jump on the phone and talk to people. So a few times a week I'll make some calls and I'll say, you know, hey, you know, you've been getting our emails and stuff like that and blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, oh, yeah. I'll say, hey, how did you actually hear about us? And I actually know by just looking on their contact sheet how they actually got into our system. And I can tell them before they tell me, but I'll say, how did you actually hear about us? They'll say, I don't know, I think I got an email from you. And I'll kind of laugh, and I'll say, well, that's not the case. You had to opt in somewhere. You had to go get something, you know, in order to get on our email list. Because if you just grab an email address, you know, from anywhere and stick it into your contact information, you know, that's called spam. I don't know how many people, if we were in the room again, how many people are actually members of, like, chambers of commerce and things like that. How you can always tell the businesses that are just, you know, kind of goofy and really don't get this stuff and probably are struggling are the ones that, you know, they get the chamber. And I'm, you know, I was guilty of this. I did this once. I like to admit my stupid things, too. They get the, this is when I was new to email marketing, by the way. They get the list of, you know, of people that are on the Chamber of Commerce, and they upload it and they mail, you know. And the truth is that you shouldn't really do that, right? And again, you know, I'll go back several years. So I didn't really know much about email until I started actually getting good at it. And I'm ashamed to say that I did that once. So don't ever do that. You know, that's a bad thing to do, and it's kind of annoying. So what you want to do is make sure you're either getting permission slips or you're getting people to opt in, and we'll talk about that. So don't ever spam. Anything other than anybody kind of had a previous relationship with you or said, hey, yeah, okay, you can email me, that's fine, or here's my email address, send me this information, send me this download, or send me this cheat sheet on email marketing, whatever. They've taken a step toward you to say, hey, you know, okay, let me in, and fine, you know. So then you have permission to email them. And as long as you give them value, that's what I found. I mean, as long as I give people value and I give them good stuff, I get a lot of good feedback sometimes on just our free email newsletter that we do for school owners. Sometimes it's audio, sometimes it's written, sometimes it's video. I kind of mix it up. But I've heard, hey, thanks a lot, that was great. Or I've really been enjoying your emails. What else do you have? Oh, by the way, here's what else I have if you weren't paying attention. So that's really the same thing you're really going for. All right. So don't ever spam anyone. Make sure they're opting in or you're collecting their information. All right, so blank to blank times per week is a safe number to stay in touch with prospects and leads. Now, this one is kind of a double-edged sword question or a loaded one. Or that's not even a question. It's a fill-in-the-blank, right? And then, by the way, did anyone answer these before we... No, I'm just kidding. All right, so the quiz will be later. You know, I'm going to say it's going to be for prospects, people that have come to you or went to your website and opted in. I'm going to say it's going to be either minimum one to maximum three. Now, again, you have to test that because at the very least you want to stay in touch with these prospects and leads once a week because, you know, I mean, that is not that much because people are just so busy and your message is only one of probably 100,000 that they're going to get that month, get that week. And I mean message by phone, email, the whole bit, Facebook, advertising, everything. So your message is like one of, you know, a fraction of what they're going to get that month, that week, or whatever. So staying in touch, trying to reach out to them once a week with a good, you know, good persuasive message that's valuable to them. Well, you know, that's minimal. You need to at least stay in touch with your prospect once a week. When I say leads, you know, accumulated leads or whatever, what I mean is people that have come to special events or birthday parties, they're always a little different. If you heard me speak before on lists when it comes to schools, you know that I treat those leads a little differently. If someone came to a birthday party or was at an event or was at an after-school program where we taught or was at a summer camp that we taught or was at a preschool that we taught, we treat those folks a little differently than anyone who's a prospect who maybe went to our website or had come in and for some reason never showed back up to their second intro or didn't enroll or maybe called and didn't show up to their intro at all, but we collected their information. They're a little different, the prospects. So what I would do is I would actually email the accumulated leads, meaning the birthday parties, the special events, a little less then I would mail the prospects. Now, it may seem like a lot more work, but it's the truth. You know, it always paid off because I look at those people as a little differently, the people that I got their information via permission slip or something, as opposed to the ones who went to my website or called the school or did an intro and for some reason didn't sign up. And if you have any sort of volume, if you're doing any sort of hustling at all, you're going to run into people who don't sign up. It's just the way it is. So as long as you have a method to capture their physical address, their phone number, their email address, you can easily stay in touch with them. So the prospects, I'd go anywhere from 1 to 3 times a week. And a lot of you folks, I live by these same principles with the MA Biz Secret Society, so a lot of you folks who are on this list, you know, you may get an email from me twice a week, and most of the time it's 99% of the time it's pure content, something you can read or something you can think about, something you can do, and obviously with a very soft, hey, if you want to try it, here you go, So anywhere from 2 to 3 times a week is good for your prospects, as long as you have something of value to say to them. Like, for instance, if you guys go to personalmasterytv.com, I can check on this real quick, but I'm pretty sure it's personal. Where is it here? Let me make sure I got it. Yep, personalmasterytv.com. That's my colleague and friend and buddy old pal, Brett Lechtenberg, who we, I kind of help him run his school, and we do a lot of things planning-wise with his school. We do a lot of the marketing stuff from the MA Biz with his school. And that's his, something he just put together. That's his video blog. And so what he did was he had a lot of teachers that he had made contact with and prospects that he had made contact with, because he's always out there, hustling. I mean, the guy, he lives by the saying, you got to circulate to percolate. I mean, this dude is always out there doing stuff. So anyway, so personalmasterytv.com is something he's kind of still polishing, but it's his video blog. And what did he do? Well, he got all his prospects and his contacts, and he said, by the way, I just put this personalmasterytv.com, and right now we got going on is a series on how to defeat the bully. We have this, 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 and this. So that can go to teachers. That can go to parents. And guess what? Do you think that it doesn't get him more bookings for more school talks and just keep steamrolling and snowballing? Maybe steamroll is not the right way. Snowballing? Yeah, absolutely it does. So this is what you can do with email marketing. You can say, hey, by the way, this is what I've just done for you. Check out this link and see what we got here. All right, so that's a really cool thing that anybody can do. So that's what you want to think about for your prospects and your accumulated leads and your people in your contact sphere and teachers and people that have said, hey, yeah, keep me in your loop. Tell me what you got going on. All right, so that's pretty cool stuff there. I can imagine, and it's been working pretty good for Brett as well. So here's a rule. Here's a rule. Okay, remember that for every blank, you must send blank emails. So who wants to take a crack at that? No, just kidding. All right, so remember, for every, I'm going to say one pure pitch email, and that could be, Mike, I need to tell you about our back-to-school special. And it's purely, here's what you get. I know you inquired before. I'd love to have you come in and check it out. Here's what you get for our back-to-school special. That's purely a pitch, all right? So for every one pitch, I recommend you send 2 to 3 content-rich emails. Now remember, content-rich emails have a very soft, oh, by the way, sell. My friend Ben Settle is a master at this. He does some of the most craziest emails, all right? What I mean by crazy is the subject lines are just amazing. I mean, one time I got an email from him that said, stab your competition in the eye. Now, if you're in business, you look at that subject line, you say, what? Stab your competition in the eye? And the email, he's a little bit of a geek, right? So the email talked about how, I forget what exactly the gist of it, but it talked about how in this one comic book or something, the little guy, what he figured out was his opponent, the evil opponent's weakness, even though the evil opponent was a lot bigger. And he realized that, if he just stabbed him in the eye, he'd win. So the gist of the email was, stab your competition in the eye. And when he related it to business, he said, look for your competitor's weak spot. What is it? And he went in and talked about what their weak spot was. And then here was his oh, by the way. He said, oh, by the way, you know, if you want more great information on how to really beat your competition, check out, and then he named a couple of his programs that he had put together. And so very soft. So, for instance, that's what I mean, is that your content-rich emails are very soft. So it can be an article, you know, hey, I think you may like this article I just wrote on, you know, how, let's just think here, what articles I've written for parents over the years. Oh, you know, how parents can achieve two goals with one stone. And then the article goes on to talk about how, let's say, you know, you have a goal of, you know, getting in shape, but you also want to stay with your, you know, spend time with your kids. Well, why not, you know, jump in, here's an article I wrote, why not, you know, put them in the wagon and drag them all around your neighborhood in the wagon. That'll be a lot of fun for the kids, and you'll get a killer workout walking up and down your neighborhood and pulling the wagon and maybe running. And it's fun for everybody, and you're getting your workout in. So now you're achieving two goals with one activity. Oh, and by the way, another great way to achieve two goals with one activity is we have a lot of parents who train with their kids. That, see that example of how you gave them some valuable thing, totally unrelated to martial arts. You said you can achieve two goals with one stone. You know, why not take your kids on a wagon ride? Think of other things you can do with your kids. If you're trying to get in shape, but you also want to spend more time with your kids, you know, yeah, you can go to the gym, and you know what? You're going to miss your kids. You're not going to see them. And, you know, but so think of some things you can do with your kids. You know, what can you do? Can you run around the park? Can you run around the yard? Can you have relay races with them? Anything you can do with your kids that's going to be fun, that they're going to know is fun, that's not just a workout for you. And they're going to be able to talk to you, communicate. So that was the gist of the article. I'm going to go on and on here. But then very subtle in the article was, and, oh, by the way, guess what? You know, you can train with your children at our school. And, you know, then obviously if you have a link to some videos with parents training or testing, that's even more powerful. But you see what I'm getting at? That's a content-rich email with a very soft, subtle sell. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense. And, of course, it's hard to gauge, you know, who thinks it makes sense, because this is not a live, we're not in person here. We're on the radio. All right. So anyway, here's what I'm going to talk about. The most important part of your email is the subject line. So the subject line is the most important part of your email, because, you know, and I fight this because I do send a lot of emails. I mean, between sending emails to my clients, between sending email, helping them with emails for their students, and between sending emails to people that happen to be on our free subscriber list, you know, the subject line is just so important. And, you know, I'll admit sometimes I just whip it out, and then, you know, after the email goes out, I say, you know, I probably should have used this subject line. Just the way it is, the nature of the game. But the subject line is so important, all right, with your email tips. Now, here's what you can do. This is the one I stumped myself on that I kind of, you know, forgot what I meant by this. But you can either blank, blank, or blank. When it comes to blank, you can see why I had no clue what I was trying to say at first until I gave it some thought. But you can either blank, blank, or blank when it comes to blank. You can either promise a benefit, you can either ask a question, or you can alarm someone when it comes to your email subject lines. Promise a benefit, ask a question, or alarm someone. I'll give you an example of an alarm one. All right? Say you have the first name of both the parent and the child of somebody who went to one of your websites. And you got their first name of the parent, first name of the child. You know, well, with my email software, I can put email, you know, I can put first name of the parent, and I can put first name of the child. So imagine if you got an email that said, imagine if my youngest daughter is Marissa. She's 3. She thinks she's a princess, by the way, because I keep telling her she's a princess. So naturally, she thinks she's a princess. All right. So anyway, it helps though. You know, get her to brush her teeth because princesses have nice teeth, Marissa. You know, get her to stay clean because princesses are always clean. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's fun. Anyway, so imagine if I got an email that said, "Mike, will Marissa be safe this summer?" Ooh, or, you know, will Marissa be a victim of a bully this school year? Wow. Mike, you know, so again, you see where that's an alarm. That's an example of an alarm. Now, you can, I'm not going to give them to you because I gave you some little email subject lines before, but you can either promise a benefit or ask a question. Now, what I did was I actually alarmed them and I asked them a question at the same time. So you can combine this, right? So you either promise a benefit, you ask a question, you alarm someone, or you make a combination of the two. If I was going to say I was going to ask a question and promise a benefit, I might say, Mike, would you like Marissa to have to be on the honor roll this year, guaranteed? Something like that, okay? Or Mike, would you like to spend more time with Marissa? Now, that is an easy way to go into my two goals with one stone article, right, that I told you about above. You see how it works? Your subject line needs to be congruent with your message. And you got to remember, this is one of the reasons why I am in the what they call the copywriting business. Because, you know, it's a learned skill, you know, to actually craft things that are going to stand out in the clutter. And luckily, I've been fortunate to where I now have people pay me to help them create things that stand out from the clutter and get attention in the form of words. And I'm fortunate, I'm blessed in that regard. Now, I don't get, you know, $75,000 like Dan Kennedy does to write a a sales letter. But, you know, I'm happy with the way I help my clients actually do this. But you got to remember, I mean, you got to give that a lot of thought. Every single word counts, all right? And again, sometimes we all get lazy, no doubt about it, but every single word definitely counts, all right? Obviously, that's one of the benefits of being hooked up to programs, you know, like we have. So anyway, so you can promise a benefit, ask a question, or alarm someone when it comes to your subject lines. And I gave you an example of how you can do both, all right? Now, you got to be careful because some words get caught in the spam filter. Some words get caught in the spam filter, all right? So what is a spam filter? That's just some sort of program, right, that basically, you know, sends the emails to the junk folder. And there's a couple things that happen with this. I want to talk about this real quick so you should know this. Well, you know, sometimes IP addresses get flagged. And that's why, like, well, for instance, the software program that I use, I constantly call them every couple months, and I nag them. And I say, how you guys doing? Because I know I use email best practices. I don't spam people. I mean, every now and then you get some wacko who says, take me off your list. You send too many emails. And, okay, just go opt out, man. You don't have to stay on, you know, or things like that. But that is so rare. I get more people that say, hey, that was great. Thanks so much. Okay? So you're going to get that regardless. But as long as you're getting the double opt-ins, like we're getting opt-ins, like we said, we're going to cover that more, all right, and you're doing what you're supposed to do when it comes to this, you're going to be less likely to get in the spam filter because you're not going to get complaints to your IP address or your whatever, the server that sends your email. So that's one way that things get caught up in an email spam filter. Then that's all stuff that is out of my realm of control for the most part. But one thing you can control, as your realm of control, not just mine, one thing that you can control is the words you put in your emails. So a lot of words get flagged. You know, words like free, Viagra, you know, that gets flagged. Things like that. You know, I'll make your bank account larger. That'll definitely get flagged. So there's a lot of things that will get flagged in email. But all joking aside, free sometimes gets flagged. So sometimes I'll put an extra E on the end. You know, hey, this is a free event with the extra E on. That happens. But not all the time, like I said, but sometimes free gets flagged. Opportunity sometimes gets flagged. Invest sometimes gets flagged. So you might say, parents, this is a great opportunity. Well, guess what? You may get flagged by the spam filter and you end up in their spam folder. All right. So there's certain words that get flagged by the spam filters. And there's a bunch of them. You know, I just named a few, free and opportunity. So you might substitute that with chance. Instead of opportunity, you may say chance. With free, you can add an extra free. With invest, you may say get started. You know, with like things like do it now, you may that may get flagged sometimes. You may say get the ball rolling. So you want to think about ways that any words, if your words are looking too salesy, you want to assume they're going to be flagged. That's a good mindset. You may not have a list in front of you of what gets flagged. You may not know how it gets flagged. But if your words seem too salesy, what you do is you think about what can I substitute. So a lot of times I learned this from a guy named Daniel Levis. He said, I said, you know, what do you like to use instead of like, you know, get started now and all that? He said, I like to say get the ball rolling. I use that all the time. Use it with parents, use it with, you know, MA Biz clients. Get the ball rolling. You know, that won't get flagged. But people know intuitively what that means. So if your words seem a little too salesy, you may end up in the unfortunately, in the spam folder. All right, so just keep that in mind. All right, so here we go. Now, let's keep moving here. All right, because we are really definitely covering a lot of ground. We're coming up to the top of the hour real soon. All right. But here's the winning email mindset. The winning email mindset is to treat your prospects like clients and your clients like friends. All right, that's what I try to do with my emails. You know, so what I mean by my clients like friends is, what do you want to do with your friends? You want to help them. So why do I send my clients an email about, you know, just an example this week, about, you know, this big bullying story that was picked up by the Associated Press or written by the Associated Press? Because that can help them. That can help them get media coverage in their area. All right, and then what do you want to do with friends? You want to help them, all right? And then what do? You treat your prospects like clients. So you try to give them good information. You know that will help them. Obviously, it's not as complete as on the other side because that's just the way it is. Everyone's got to make a living, right? So do you. So you can give video content away with your school like Brett's doing. He's giving great content away to his students and his prospects. Now, of course, if they want the real deal, they come in, they learn from him. That's the way it is, all right? Now, here's the fun part. All right, I'm going to save this till the end, all right? But this is the coolest one. Always remember, especially with email, to say it, don't blank. Now, some of you who pay attention to me, you know what that means already. But anyway, you can build your – we'll get to that in a second. You can – Kathy's laughing. You can build your list both online and offline, all right? So that was that last – next to last one. You can build your list both online and offline. When building it, okay, when building it blank – I don't know. I think I screwed up there. But you can use, opt-ins. You can use special offers for your website. You can use your email newsletter. Just don't say, "Hey, opt into my email newsletter." Nobody cares. You got to give them something really cool to opt in. But you can build it using your email newsletter online, you can also do it along with special events. Will help you build your email list, special events, and like what I was saying with Brett, you know, he really hustles and really circulates around the community, so he collects a lot of people's information, and they give him permission to stay in touch with them. But most importantly, always remember, especially with email, Kathy may want to finish it. This is
say it, don't spray it.
Say it, don't spray it. Right. Say it, don't spray it. And again, I don't take credit for that one, although, you know, it's my friend Ben Settle. He initially sent me an email with that subject line, and I don't think he realizes how valuable that is, because everyone I talk to, and I've elaborated on it a lot, and I told him that. You know, hey, you gave me some great material to expand on, Ben. Thanks. But say it, don't spray it. I like to always give credit where credit is due. But anyway, so that's my story about email marketing. So I know we covered a whole lot. So maybe we have questions, or maybe Kathy wants to reveal the statistics that we collected. What do you think?
Why don't we reveal the statistics we collected first?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so the people that submitted on the webcast anyway and answered your question about sending out at least one weekly email each week.
Yep.